Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Rama 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 Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Gurudev, Jaya Gurudev, Gana Hari Ram, Gana Hari Ram, Sara Hari Go Nata Sara Hari Go Arunama Sankirtananki Sera Prabhupadaki Murgatta Vandaki Nikolagavite Mahindri
Yes.
Hare Krishna. So yesterday, in the second session of Device Course, we were discussing about the three types of pramanas, isn't it? What are the three pramanas? You all remember? Yeah? Pratyaksha, Anuman, and Shraddha. And I'm just trying to recapitulate some of the things we heard yesterday. And which of the three we said are defective, which don't supply perfect knowledge? Yes? Yeah? Protection, Anuman. What is the reason for that? There are four defects. You all remember the four defects? What are the four? Imperfect senses? Tendency to? Yeah? Illusion. Yeah, that is the second one. Imperfect senses lead to be illusion. Then we commit mistakes. Then cheating propensity. Then in conclusion we said that we need someone free from four defects who can give perfect knowledge. And where is that available, we say? In Shabda Praman. Talking about Shabda Praman, which is from the Vedas. So we are going to learn more about it today in the third session. So we are beginning with the task. We can put off this one. This one. We can switch off that one. So you all have a pad with you, paper and pen with you. You have to make a list of the different species that you know of for their special abilities. Like we have given an example here. Eagle is known for its eyesight, isn't it? It can see even from several miles distance a deck car flying, isn't it? Even from the sky. It has a telescopic eyes. Similarly, find out what is the speciality of human species. Is this question clear to everyone? So you can think of different animals or birds or reptiles or aquatics, whatever names you know, write them down. And you should also write something special about them. What are the special abilities they have? They are outstanding for that ability. Okay? So you can take 2-3 minutes, 3 minutes time you can take this time. And write down in your paper. Answer will be asked to you after some time. Maybe after 5-6 slides we will come to check with your answers. Hare Krishna. So keep the answers with you. And when I ask all of you, then tell me that time. After a few slides I will be asking you the answers. So there are four activities common to both humans and animals. Like animals eat, and human beings also eat. Animals sleep, and human beings sleep also. Animals mate, and human beings also have their mate. The animals defend by biting one another with claws and teeth. And human beings also defend with guns and scuds and missiles and all that. So these four, ahara, nidra, bhaya, maitun. These four activities are common to animals and humans. It's said in Mahabharata. It is said, ahara nidra bhayamaitunamcha samanyametat pashubhir naranam. It is said. Between pashu and nar, these four activities are common. So, we are trying to make a comparison between the animal and the human being. And we are trying to understand what are the similarities and what are the differences. So in these four activities we showed, they are similar. Now we have another question. What special skills of animals have you written in your notebook? If animals have so many special skills, then who is superior, human beings or animals? So now you all can tell me different names of species. Give the mic to them. Where is the mic? Yeah. What all names you written in your notebook? Please. I'll give it to them. Who is ready with few answers? Yeah, who is ready?
Hare Krishna Guru.
Yeah.
Hey,
Like
frog.
Others, frog. What is frog special for?
Frog can live in water as well as on the land.
Okay. Humans can live only on land. Okay. Thank you. Anybody else?
Project Crow.
What is specialty of crow?
It is like determination.
Yeah?
It's determination.
What is determination?
मतलब किसी चीज़ को करने की तेज़ ताल होती है, वो कमर में से ज़्यादा होती है.
Is it? कोई special for determination?
Actually, it is said that मतलब एक विद्यार्थी की पांच क्वालिटी होनी चाहिए.
हाँ?
एक विद्यार्थी की पांच क्वालिटी होनी चाहिए. उसमें आता है काक, तेज़ ताल, बकुल जाना.
काक और क्रो? हाँ? क्रो और काक?
काक.
ओ काक. ओ क्रो only. Okay, okay. Not in English काक. Sanskrit cock, okay. Uh-huh. Okay, crow has determination, is it? What type of work he does with that determination? Oh, you're telling about the story, okay. Isn't the story, okay. Thank you. Any other species? Yes? Yeah?
Dog can very nice.
Dog can?
Smell.
Ah, the olfactory function of the dog is very powerful. It can sniff and find out the thief. Huh? So the police people carry a dog with them. That's true, yeah.
And cows?
Oh, only one. We would like to give opportunity to others also. Somebody can say.
Leopard.
Huh?
Leopard.
Ah, leopard is famous for?
Agility and speed.
Ah, very correct. Yes.
Snake. Snake have a senses of vibration.
Yes. From where vibration you can sense it. Huh? Yeah. Yes. Anybody else? Friend?
Okay. Dolphin can communicate for up to 230 kilometers.
Dolphin, huh?
Yeah. And also when it swims, then its skin becomes wavy like ship, and means resistance becomes very low when it swims, so its speed fast very much.
Okay, thank you. Communicate such a long distance, amazing.
Fox, which is tricking, cheating, is famous for.
Chalu, is very chalaki, huh? Is very cunning. He has special skill of being cunning, okay?
Krishna Guruji, chameleon can use both his eyes independent of each other.
Dolphins, huh?
Chameleon.
Chameleon can use, I can change its color, right?
Both its eyes independent of each other.
Oh, is it? You can use eyes also independent of each other? Yeah. Okay. Chameleon.
Haribol, woman has the thinking ability. No one animal has that.
Who has the thinking of?
Human has the thinking of better.
Human.
Human has
the. Oh, human beings have thinking ability. Others cannot think. Animals can also think.
But the human has the better thinking ability.
Is it? Say, for example, a cat which comes into the kitchen, you know, with her nails down. She comes and hides herself. When mother goes away, she goes and drinks the milk, waiting for another opportunity to get outside. Cats can also think. You can see. Even animals like tigers, to catch its prey, you know, it hides itself behind a bush, you know. So, Like human beings are thinking, animals also think. You are certainly right, but we will see what is the difference later. Animals think and human beings also think. But animals can think only about eating, sleeping, mating, defending. They cannot think anything outside that. Like in the morning the birds are chirping and you know, choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo in the trees, you know. Where is my food? Where is my mate? Where is my friend? What is the danger for me? They can't think of anything beyond that. But human beings thinking can go even higher.
I want to add to cat, for the cat only. She can see through the pitch dark very clearly. And again, she is able to balance her balance at a very high level, highest levels also.
That's very correct. You see, so many animals' names you have heard now, isn't it? We would like to give opportunity to ladies' side also, if they have any answers other than what was spoken till now. Any answer? Yeah?
Camel can survive to the desert without water.
Camel can survive in desert for long hours, isn't it? It can store water also in a package.
Horse has a sixth sense.
Yeah, what is it?
Sixth sense.
What is the sixth
horse,
sense?
Horse has the sixth.
What is the sixth sense?
Any, sure. I don't know. I mean, I've just heard that anything evil they are able to
Know in advance.
They know in
that
advance.
That is true even with dogs and
other animals.
Other animals also, yeah.
Okay.
Dog's specialty is running fast also.
Okay.
Compared
then,
to animals.
Then the horses have strength, speed and determination. They're known for that.
Determination also?
Yeah.
Okay. Like in here also they use in horse races, you know. What do you call that? They have a race course here.
Yeah.
Thank you. Anybody else? Any of you want to say? Anyone? Yeah. Huh? They don't know about God, but human beings know about it. We are going to come to that point now. So, that's why we ask this question, who is superior, human being or animals? It seems to us that animals have far more special skills which human beings don't have. Isn't it? Mosquitoes can multiply in millions. Human being can produce only one per year. If he produces also, you know, it takes 9 months to bear a child and produce a child. Mosquitoes multiply in millions. So what is the difference between animals and humans? So these are all different species shown here, each of them having many special capabilities. But even animals have rational power and intelligence in the four habits of eating, sleeping, etc. In fact, animals are even better than human beings, as you all rightly said now. We cannot run as fast as a horse, we cannot see like an eagle, we cannot smell like a dog, we can't do all that. They also have rational power intelligence, but only with respect to eating, sleeping, mating, defending. So, now what do you think? Are animals superior or human beings superior? What do you think? A human is superior in what sense? Intelligence, what intelligence? They also have intelligence to do many things. Let us see whether anybody says anything else, yeah? They can express themselves properly. Do you think animals don't express verbally? But animals also speak. You are not seeing dogs and all communicating with one another? But animals also teach their children how to catch its prey. Now they haven't written, but they communicate you know, ideas like how, where to get the prey, you know. Developed. So development in which direction you mean? That we are going to show in the next slide. See, what's happening? Decision of what? They also make decision, animals also. Instinct. Very good point. Animals act by instinct. Instinct is almost like a programmed machine. They act. But human beings can use their free choice to choose to act. Whether, like human beings can say this is right, this is wrong. and I will choose to do this or choose not to do this. That's one main difference animals and human beings have. Now some people say human beings are more sophisticated than animals. They say, how can you say we are like animals? We are far more advanced in technology. We are far more advanced in having 5-star hotels and everything. Human beings claim that you know they have colleges where they give education and everything, which animals don't have. Like madam said also, that animals don't express themselves verbally and you know, they don't have colleges and textbooks and researches and all that. Now we will see in the subsequent slides now, that Western countries have reached the summit of material advancement, like they have luxurious houses, they have skyscraper buildings, jet planes, they have latest methods of communication, email, mobile, computers and all that. But in spite of all this advancement, you find that in the West, people are dissatisfied, full of anxiety, stress and depressed and above all, unhappy. Why is it so? Because the technological advancement is nothing but doing the same four activities of eating, sleeping, mating, defending in a more sophisticated way. This is called a sophisticated animal civilization. For example, we may say, we eat in a 5-star hotel, rotating hotel. Is it in any way superior to animal eating in the street? What do you think? Now, once animal puts its food inside and we put our food inside, like we are eating halwa and a pig is eating stool, is there any difference? They also experience joy and we also experience pleasure in eating. It's the same activity. Similarly, take the activity of sleeping. So we sleep in a Dunlop pillow bed or a space age bed, where you can have a you know hot air or a cold air. You can hear music and the whole bed sometimes topples, you know. It jerks like this. Many things the space age bed does for you. But is that sleeping any different from an animal sleeping in the platform? Animal also goes to sleep. Once you close the eyes, like dog closes the eye and we close our eyes, the sleep is not much different. The quality of sleep is almost the same. So, how are we sophisticated if we are doing the animal-like activities in a more sophisticated way? Like somebody says, no, we have found out, you know, Scuds and missiles. We have kept Star Wars. But animals are also showing their teeth to one another. They are tearing each other's body with the nails and claws and everything. Isn't it? So we are doing the same activity of defending in a sophisticated way. Do you appreciate this point? There is no difference in the quality of activity. The quality of life of animals and the quality of life of a human being doing eating, sleeping, mating, defending is the same. That's the main point. Simply because we are eating in a star hotel doesn't make us any superior. Simply because we are sleeping in a Dunlop pillow bed doesn't make us any superior. That's the main point. So, the Shastra says, Ahara Nidra Bhayamaitanam Cha Samanya Metat Pashupir Naranam. And then it says, what is the difference? How human beings are different, it says. To live a meaningful life, we have to first of all know, who am I? You all are able to see here. Who am I? Who is God? What is my relationship with Him? So this is called as dharma. Dharmohi tesham adhiko vishesho dharmena hina pashubir samanam. It's a very simple Sanskrit. Dharmohi tesham adhiko vishesho. It says. That means what is vishesh in human beings? Dharmohi tesham. He has to inquire about dharma. That's what I think madam was trying to say, one more devotee behind, they were trying to say that human beings can study Vedas, they can discuss about God, correct? They're making that point. Which animals cannot do. Dharma hitesa adhiko visheshu. Dharmena hina means without dharma, pashudur samanam. It says. What is the meaning? Then human being is called as a dvipada pashu, two-legged animal, without dharma, according to Mahabharata. So now, animals can inquire about eating, sleeping, mating and faring only, but human being can inquire about life and death. Inquiries about life and death are like this. Who am I? Who is God? Where from did I come? Where will I go after death? Why am I suffering? These questions only human being can ask. Like you see, so many goats are sent to the slaughterhouse. Do they ever ask the question, why are they cutting my throat, you know? I don't want to die, I want to run away. Huh? They don't run away. Huh? They give them some grass to eat and they are coolly eating the grass and then going in a long queue one by one. And all their necks are being cut. Imagine if a human beings are going to stand in a queue like that. One by one you stand and say, if they see somebody being slaughtered, they will run away from there. Isn't it? Because we do not want to die. That's the intelligence of a human being. But animals can never ask. Similarly, animals can never ask, where did I come from, where will I go after death, all these questions. So if a human life, we can inquire and then we can be promoted to higher life. And if we don't inquire anything and we do the same activities of animals like eating, sleeping, mating, defending, then what happens? Then we go back to animal kingdom. Like that gentleman, what's your good name? Mr. Chaudhary, yeah. Chaudhary made a brilliant point. Animals act by instinct, human beings have the free choice. So, if we also act instinctively, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, and never inquiring about God, never inquiring about life, never enthusiastic to know more about who am I in essence and all that, then we go down to animal kingdom. A human being can develop reasoning power to ask the following questions. Two questions. Remember these two questions. Why am I suffering? And where do I go after this life? Like for example, all of us, we all want to remain young forever. Is it not true? Is there anyone here who wants to get old? Any of you raise your hand? You want to see yourself getting old and having wrinkles in the body, teeth falling out, and your eyes going into the socket, and you catching a stick in hand, walking. Anybody wants that? No. We all want to remain young, right? But we find very soon we start growing old and our bodies become weak and frail. Against our own wish, not to get old, still we get old. And we no longer look beautiful anymore as we get older. Then the children are very cute, if you see. Small children wearing their uniforms, playing in the playground, how much energy they have. Isn't it? They look very smart also. But as you grow older and older and older, you become 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, then nobody wants to look at us. No one wants to get old. Cosmetic industry is booming due to fear of old age. People try to wear cosmetics and try to hide their old age. There was a Texas American millionaire who at the age of 72 realized that he has started aging now. So he called a group of top doctors in America and said, what is this? I am expanding my business and I feel that I am getting weaker and my body is full of wrinkles now. You have to set right my old age. How much you want? Take this $20 million. He gave them. And then doctors went and they researched on what is this aging process and they published an article also in the paper and all. What is the aging process? Then the doctor said, now we know through science how does the aging take place. How do the old cells die and new cells crop up? You know, they said. But the only problem is we cannot stop aging, although we know how it happens. There is no method to stop aging. It's like you cannot stop the setting of the sun in the evening or rising of the sun. As much as you can't do anything with the sun, same way you cannot do anything with aging, they said, after spending so much money. So, old age cannot be stopped and body keeps aging, although we don't want. Our body grows from childhood to boyhood, to youth, to old age and eventually brings about death, leaving only the bones. See this picture. We were all born like the small children. See, the child is growing and crawling now and is learning to stand up. And then he grows into a boy and then a youth and a young man and he starts getting old. Gradually you see he becomes almost invalid. And then he is falling apart, then you see what is left behind? Only the bones. This happens to everyone in this world, but nobody asks about it. So people capture the sweet memories, photographs. Why? Because the body keeps changing. And they have to be only later on seen as sweet memories. Sometimes 80 or 90 year old people look at their marriage days or their youth days, you know, how we look so beautiful. Because body changes, you can't possess the same beauty forever. That's why Shankara, he sang a very beautiful song, Bhajagovindam. Vayasigate kaha kamavikaraha shushkeni re kaha kasaraha. क्षीणे वित्ते कः संसारः ज्ञाते तत्त्वे। क्षीणे वित्ते कः परिवारः ज्ञाते तत्त्वे कः संसारः। दिस् इस् द मीनिङ्ग्। वाट् गुड् इस् लेस् वेन् यूत् हेस् फ्लेड्। वाट् यूस् इस् अ लेक् विच् हेस् नो वाटर्। डु नाट् बोस्ट् आफ् वेल्त् फ्रेण्ड्स् अण्ड् यूस्। ईच् वन् आफ् दिस् इस् डिस्ट्राय्ड् within a minute. Chant the names of Govinda. It's very true. Huh? These things are all fleeting. They all are going away. Huh? Against our wish. We want to remain healthy, hale and healthy, right? But against our wish, we encounter various diseases. Of course, here you see a very deadly disease. We may not probably possess such a disease, but we also get headache and stomachache and some people get brain tumor, somebody gets cancer, so many types of diseases, which we don't want, but we get diseases. Pain, then there's disease, starvation, all these things are natural we see in this world. And finally death, that brings an end to this body. So one can ask this question about birth, old age, disease and death. Why am I suffering all this? And where do I go after death? The same two questions, you remember? Which I showed you before. Why am I suffering? And where do I go after death? One who can perceive the Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadi as the real problems, such a person is in knowledge. It's said in Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna says, Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadi Dukkha Dosha Anudarshanam. You all know the story of Siddhartha, Gautama Buddha. When he was a young boy, once he wanted to go for outing. So his father sent him in a chariot along with the minister. So when he was going in the street, he saw some very old and invalid man carrying a stick and coming. So he asked the minister, why this man is having a stick and is bending down like this? The minister said, he has got old. Siddhartha asked, what is his old age? Will everyone have to get old? And minister said, yes, everyone has to get old one day. Everyone has to catch the stick one day. So Siddhartha became very disappointed. Oh, really? Why does one get old age? Why can't one remain young forever? Then after some distance, they saw a group of people carrying a dead body. You see, in India, they never hide the reality. In the West, what they do when somebody dies, they put them in an ambulance van and take him to an electrical crematorium where they feed the body into an electrical machine and next moment the body comes out as ashes and they put it in a nice packet and the son's daughters, they are sitting outside and they give them a very nice packet and they take it and go away. And nobody even comes to know who died. But in India, when somebody dies, you will see, they put them on a stretcher kind of thing and people carry it, you know, decorating with garland and everything. Dunk, takara, dunk, takara, dunk, they play. Huh? All the kettle drums and everything and they take and everyone comes out of their house and sees, oh, the fellow has died. Yesterday evening I saw him, he was alright. Now he has died, so everyone is going to die in this world. Better that I start preparing before I die. Life is a preparation and death is examination. Where one has to think of God. And they carry the body saying, Ram, Nam, Satya Hai, isn't it? And they are telling him after the fellow is gone. One has to say Ram, Nam, Satya Hai before a person dies, when a person is alive. So, we all suffer this birth, old age, disease, ending with death. Also, if you analyze our lives, we are tormented with many sufferings. They are categorized as three. Adhyatmika means, miseries arising from our body and mind. Like for example, in America, one out of every two cardiac arrests are because of stress. Can you imagine? People have cardiac problem, one out of two are because of stress. So much of stressful life, people get heart problems. So these are miseries arising from our own body and arising from our mind. So all of us experience different type of suffering. In this room here, can any one of you say that in your life till date you never had any bodily or mental suffering? Can anybody say that? There is not one person in the world who can say that. Everyone undergoes bodily suffering and mental suffering. That's called adhyatmika klesh. And atibhautika klesh means the misery is arising due to other living entities. The first one was arising from your own body and mind. Adi bhautika means like the terrorists are troubling, some insects are biting, sometimes it's katmal, bed bug is biting you, sometimes mosquitoes are biting you. That kind of like pickpocketing. Other living entities giving trouble. That is called Adi bhautika klesh. Adi daivika klesh means miseries from natural disasters like the earthquakes, tornadoes, like New Orleans, we had the hurricane, isn't it? New Orleans hurricanes, it cut off all the electric lines and telephone lines and transportation systems were closed down and there was a blackout of the place and there was so much robbery and everything. Tsunami claimed 3.8 lakh lives. So these are all natural calamities called Adi daivika klesh. Even severe cold, severe heat, they are included in that. So, Durga Devi has a trishul, isn't it? These three are the ones. Adi Adnika, Adi Bhautika, Adi Daivika Klesh. You have seen Durga with the trident like this? The trident or trishul is representing these three kleshas only. Although we are very advanced in medical science, we can find that still people have health related problems. You will see that. With the best of the medicines, with the most qualified doctors, still people have problems of good health and the happiness always is far away. You know about Muhammad Ali, the world heavyweight boxing champion. He had his famous slogan, which was always published in the paper, "I am the greatest." That was his slogan, because he knocked off practically anyone who competed with him in boxing. But the same Muhammad Ali today, he is suffering from a Parkinson's disease. He can't even lift a cup of coffee now. Once when he was told to lift the Olympic torch, he could not catch it with his hand. Practically four people had to help him catch it, because his hand has lost all the power. Why we are given the example of Muhammad Ali? Because the sufferings are not only coming in the lives of common people, even the people who are called special people, they also undergo these sufferings of diseases, old age and everything. You know, there was a Superman, I think Christ Eve, he acted as a Superman. You know, he would jump from the top of mountains, he would stand in front of the railway lines and block the fastly coming train, he would block it and all kinds of things he would do as a Superman. But once in his real life, he broke his leg and he got a fracture, and that was the end of all Superman's activity. So Superman is a nice Superman in movie only. In practical life, nobody can be Superman, and everyone is a man or woman afflicted with these four problems. Why do even such great personalities suffer from problems? Can scientific advancement put a full stop to all suffering? What do you say? Anybody has an answer for this? Do you think science can help us to stop these sufferings of aging, or diseases, or death? Can prolong our life, is it? Yeah. So there was a very meaningful saying. Man may probably live longer, but not happier. Isn't it? So this question we are going to answer in the subsequent slides. Whether science can put a full stop to our sufferings. If you see science gives many temporary stopgap solutions. For example, what is the meaning of scientific advancement? In science, we are trying to reduce our miseries. Like you see, we have the fan. Why do we have the fan? To avoid sweating. Isn't it? And why do we have a cycle? In order to avoid the trouble of walking and having pain in the leg. And why do we have a grinding machine? In order to avoid the suffering of, grinding it with the hand and getting pain. So science is trying to reduce the pain, but the science cannot stop all the sufferings. We'll see how. Science only gives superficial patch-up solutions and cannot free us from all suffering. It cannot stop old age. It cannot eradicate disease per se from the planet. Like, there was an article in newspaper which said, resurgence of diseases which were apparently eradicated 10 years ago. All those diseases, scientists say, are coming back with full force again. Whichever diseases were eradicated before. Because you may cure one disease, but you get another new disease. Like nowadays, they have 26, 28 letter diseases, which you can't even spell out properly. And the most two famous recent diseases are SARS and the AIDS. And these are deadly diseases. If somebody has SARS, nobody should even touch them. Nurses who touch and nurse them, they die. Generally, AIDS also, people having HIV is a serious problem now, practically incurable. And science has hardly any understanding about life and death. If you ask the scientist what is death, they will say absence of life. But what is life? Absence of death. There is no clear definition about life and death. There are five types of death, scientists say. There is brain death, there is clinical death, there are different kinds of death they talk about. They cannot confidently say whether a person is alive or dead. Sometimes in comatose state, it's very difficult to say. And science doesn't have any understanding of soul and what happens at death and everything. See how science gives superficial patch of solution. You have got a world, you have become old and you have got a white hair, simply put some garbage hair dye, that's all. You look black. And because of old age, you got wrinkles on the face and use a facelift so that your wrinkles will disappear and you look like a young woman. Or if you have diseases like back pain, stomachache, use painkillers to suppress the pain without even knowing the root cause of the pain. So breathlessness at the point of death, use oxygen tubes to extend your life. And be a vegetable on the bed. Dead bed, but use oxygen tubes to go on pulling on the life. Although you cannot do any activity, you cannot move anywhere. So science gives the solutions, but why do we call them as patch-up solutions, can you say? Why is it patch-up? Is it not a wonderful solution science is offering? It's very temporary, is it? Yeah? It's limited? Yeah, it's limited, that's true. And also, this is a covering of reality, correct? For example, somebody puts a facelift, have they become young now? Inside they have grown old already. It's simply a, just like in home what we do when some special guests are coming. Now house is littered with paper and things and it's so dirty. So what they do, they push everything to one corner and put a big blanket around. And nobody should go into that room. You know people do that? So this is exactly like that. See, this fellow is there. So, they use facelift to become young, but this fellow is shouting because he is not able to stop old age. So, he is a doctor. So, advancement in science and technology has given many facilities like fine cars, AC rooms, mobile computers, etc. But there are temporary comforts, as you rightly said now. But they cannot solve the real problem. They only teach how to patch up the problem. There is a story of a 16-year-old young girl who was walking the road with long, beautiful hair and pulling glass. And a man became allured by her beauty. So he started slowly following behind her. And she walked and walked and walked, and then she entered into a house. And the man wanted to know more about her, so he peeped through the window. And as soon as she reached the home, she removed her high heels from her leg, and she became very short. After that. And he thought, oh, she looks so tall and thin, now she has become so short, he thought. He said, no problem, even if she's short, I don't mind. Then she removed her cooling glass. Then he found there were eyes inside the deep pockets. It was like a dried up well. And eyes were deep inside. He was shocked. Then she removed her facelift and the wrinkles came up. Then she removed her wig which she was having. And then it was looking like what I am having now. Somewhat like this. She was having a baldy head like this. So this man looked up and down. He realized that she was not a 16-year-old girl. She was a 60-year-old woman who was looking like a young girl like that with all this patch-up work. So, in the same way, scientific advancement means ingenious ways of covering up the reality more and more. Newer and newer ingenious ways of covering up the reality. That's what is advancement. That is why the problems of birth, old age, disease and death remain a puzzle for modern man, despite all scientific advancement. Man doesn't know why are we forced to get older, why are we forced to get diseases, why do we die? See, every cause, every effect has to have a cause, correct? For example, if I am feeling some disease or pain in the body, should it have a cause or no cause? Say, I call one of you here and I ask you to close your eyes and I pinch you. You feel the pain, right? If I ask you, you are feeling the pain, is the pain automatic? What would you say? Is the pain automatic? No, I am pinching you. You may say that you have blindfolded me, I can't see you, but I know that you are pinching me. Correct? Similarly, if disease is something, this is also one type of pinching, suffering the body. Who is causing that pinching? Why that suffering is coming? Nobody is asking the question. People are trying to suppress the pain by putting painkillers, but one should ask the question, why am I suffering in the first place? So here the example of a fish is given. And the fish is taken out of the ocean, and the fish is fed with so many things, hamburger, currency notes, you know, something to eat, and some stopwatch, and some liquor bottle, and some Playboy magazine. Is given a ball to play, everything is given. But the fish is not happy. Why fish is not happy? He is out of water. He is struggling, he wants to go back to water. Similarly, we are out of the spiritual world to which we originally belong to. And we have come to the material world, which is a foreign place for us. And here we are suffering all these things. About this we will discuss more in the next session. What is the root cause of all our problems? Here is a story of a boy who got a boil. You see the first boy, he got a boil in his right hand here. And he was crying and suffering. He went to a doctor who gave him an ointment. He applied the ointment and this boil went off. But the boil came in left hand again. He got there and he was again crying. Then the doctor gave the same ointment again. Then he applied it and both the hands were free, but it came in the leg. You see? The knee. So this boy went to the doctor and asked, what is this, sir? The boil is recurring again and again and again. When will it stop? The doctor said, no, whenever you get the boil, you keep on applying the ointment, that's all. Like, you know, in teenage, people get these pimples, you see. You know, they apply this clear cell and all that. It goes up and again it comes. It goes up and keeps coming, recurring. So this boy got fed up with the doctor. Then he went to another doctor. Then the doctor said, oh, if it is repeating so many times, he said, you must be having some problem in your blood. Let me test your blood. So they tested his blood, the new doctor, and then he understood there is an impurity in the blood. Then he gave an injection to remove that impurity. And then the boil never recurred. And you can see the boy happy now. Blood pressure injection, no recurrence. And what is that impurity? Boil keeps recurring because of impurity in the blood. Similarly, our sufferings keep recurring because of our sinful tendency to break God's laws. You understand why are we suffering? Yesterday also we said, isn't it? When we break God's laws, we suffer. Science will never be able to solve this problem, even in the millions of years. As long as we don't know what are God's laws and we keep breaking them, we will continue to suffer. See the difference between wise and foolish. One of you can read this side, the other one can read that side. Please take the mic.
The wise believe in God.
You read that one?
Foolish has no faith in God.
Live life according to laws of God.
Foolish follows eat, drink and be merry philosophy.
Remember the temporary nature of this world.
The foolish forget the temporary nature of this world and enjoy sinfully and caring for the nature.
Follow the regulated life of principles to ultimately attain God.
And you can live an unregulated life at the cost of others.
You all understand this point, isn't it? Like how wise people believe in God and foolish have no faith in God, and wise people live life according to the laws of God. Foolish people, their philosophy is kao piyo majak karo, eat, drink and be merry. And wise people know that this world is a temporary place. My life on earth is like a journey. I have come here only for 80 years. After that I will have to die, leave this body and go to another destination. But the foolish people, they don't remember the temporary nature. These people follow a regulated lifestyle, following the principles of roots of God, and they are leading unregulated life. For example, the foolish people know that they will die today or tomorrow. They know everything is temporary. See, the blip shows that it's gone. Huh? Yet he is mad only after a short-lived pleasures of life. Like you see, our life is like a train journey. Because in a train journey, you cannot go in the train forever. Because suddenly you find the people who are traveling with you are missing. Isn't it? One by one people are gone in the train. Similarly, I was telling about the goat. He's thinking, oh, good day. So much grass I have now. I am so lucky. Similarly, people are also very fond of enjoying life with the pleasures they have now. But they don't think of the future. Future is this. So the goat also becomes one of the slaughtered animals in the shop. So the duty of every man is to make relevant inquiries about the following questions. Who am I? Am I this body which is a bag of flesh and bones? Or am I something superior? So this is very important. In fourth session we are going to discuss on science of soul. Am I this bag of flesh and bones or am I something superior? Who am I? Then who is God? How can I know God? Why did God create this world? What is the purpose of God sending me here in this world? What is my relation with Him? What am I supposed to do in life? Apart from eating, sleeping, mating, defending. What is right and what is wrong? And why am I suffering? What is the cause of suffering? What is the remedy for suffering? What should be avoided in my life to surpass suffering? All these questions we should ask in our life. So these are very important questions for human beings to ask. This is why the human beings are superior to animals. Is it clear? This point? This is only human beings can ask. What is the actual destination of life? Till now we were discussing about the first question of suffering. Correct? The birth, old age, disease, death, and also adhyatmika, adhibhautika, adhidevika, three kleshas. Now we are answering the second question. What is the actual destination of life? Here is a car, you see. This boy is asking, sir, where are you going? And he is saying, don't disturb, I want to go very fast. People want to go very fast in their lives without knowing where are they going. What is the result of them? See where the car is going. Aimless, fast-paced, rat-race lifestyle, mindless of purpose, for which we were sent here, will lead us only to hell. You see, you see the modern man's life is like this, right? He has an endless life, it is fast-paced life, like a rat race, and it is mindless of purpose for which we are sent here. Nobody knows even why we are living here in this world. And that will lead us to hell. Like this car is almost about to enter into ocean, you see? Like this. A company gives us a car. Why a company gives you a car? So that you can go back home comfortably and, you know, work for the company. So in the car we put the petrol, we wash it, we repair the damaged parts and do all these things to the car. And you have to do it. But that's not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is to use the car to go from company to home, isn't it? So the body is compared to the car and the driver is compared to the soul. Is this example easy to remember? Understand? So the body is given, but people are pampering the body and ignoring the soul, correct? Like, you know, the car should be washed, car should be cleaned, you should repair the car, put petrol, everything. But if you keep doing that and not using the car at all, what is the use? One should use it for returning home. Human body is given to us to purify our heart and return back to the Lord. You can eat food, bathe the body and set right any disorders in the body by going to a doctor and all that. But your ultimate goal, why God has given you a human body, is to inquire and go back home, back to Godhead. Is it very understandable? Simple, right? So, what is modern man doing with his body? Is he using it for the purpose for which body is given? Shariram kaladharma sadhanam, it is said. Sharir is the dharma sadhan. Is man using the body for dharma sadhan? What is he doing? You know, there are how many types of hairstyles we have? How many types of sports shoes? How many types of coats and suits, how many types of cosmetics, how many types of ties, how many types of belts, how many types of wristwatches, isn't it? Man has practically everything for the body, but what is he feeding to the soul? Huh? It's like putting petrol in the car and no food for the driver. So let the driver die. That's what man is doing with his soul. Lord Krishna teaches Arjuna about the soul in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. He's saying, you are the soul. Your body is like a shirt. But our body is just like a shirt that gets old, torn and useless after some time. Then as you may change your shirt, the soul changes to a new body. Krishna says that, oh, you leave one body and go to another body. Like this lady is polishing the cage. Inside the cage there is a parrot lying, you see. But she has forgotten the hungry parrot, not feeding the parrot. Similarly, they are polishing the external cage of the body, not feeding the parrot, which is like the soul. Pampering the body, but forgetting the soul. So now, at this junction, we are going to see a drama. A group of devotees are going to put up a drama of Mahamurk. And so attentively observe the drama and you can come up with lessons based on the drama. Are you all ready? Any of you feel I am going too fast? Or is it easy to catch up? Anybody has? Whatever examples I have been giving, they are pretty easy, I believe, right? Anybody has difficulty? Anybody? Yeah. Hey, Rama, you want to put this side or that side?
Hare Krishna. For the pleasure of Sri Radha Kunjbihari, Sri Gauranitai, Sri Prabhupada, and all the Vaishnavas, and all the participants of DYS session, we, the students of RV College, Bangalore, have set up a drama on the story of Mahamurk. So, the story, the beginning of the story is something like this. Once upon a time, there was a very wealthy king. He had a big kingdom, many queens, lots of wealth, many soldiers. And there was nothing he didn't have. But he was living a very happy life, very luxurious. He was spending very lavishly. He had power, prestige, status, everything. But there was something missing in him. There was, he actually completely forgot about God. He didn't do his duty that he had to do about, he didn't have any knowledge about God. So one day it so happened that a sadhu passed by his kingdom, and the king passed by his kingdom, and there was the king came to welcome him. Let us see what happens then.
Oh great sage, you are so eager to respect me, bow down to me, and you are giving me so much of donation, but still I am not satisfied with you, because you are not at all interested in God, you are not God conscious. So I have a request for you. If you satisfy that request, then I will be satisfied.
Okay great sage, what can I do for you?
Oh king, you send your man throughout your country and find the best among the mass people. Call him to your court and give him a stick. Tell him to go around the city daily and pay him salary according to his service.
Okay, great sir.
Okay, then I will leave.
Oh, I have to fulfill the order of the great sage. Soldiers, go around the city, search for the best of the mad people and bring him to my court.
Mad people?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes, mad people, bring him to my court. Oh, Murka! Murka!
Fool!
I have one for you. Take this stick. And Take this stick. Go around the city daily with your stick. And I'll pay salary at the end of the month. Every month.
Salary?
Yes.
Stick?
Yes.
Ha 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 ha. Salary?
Ha ha ha.
Days, months and years passed by. The king spent all his time in material enjoyment and gradually became old. In his old age, he became afflicted by a fatal disease and on his deathbed...
My dear queen, I have met all the people, all my relatives, all my friends, but I have the feeling I have not met someone I know very well. Someone I know very well.
Who is that?
Oh, that Murkha. Please tell the soldiers to bring that Murkha.
Soldiers?
I am your service.
Please bring that Murkha again. Raja willing to meet him.
Oh fool, I am about to go to a distant place. So I thought I want to talk to you.
Yes, Maharaj. You are going to a distant place? Please take me with you, Maharaj.
Oh, fool. I can't take you there. You don't understand. It is not possible.
Oh, Maharaj doesn't want to take me?
Maharaj, you want to take the queen with you, no? That's why you are not taking me with you.
Oh, fool. Murkha, you can't understand. Neither I can take my queens nor my sons.
Maharaj,
whatever it may be, I will arrange for a strong horse and a chariot so that he can go comfortably to that place.
Maharaj, hey idiot, can't you see? The king is ill. Don't irritate him. Stop it.
Oh fool, you don't understand. I can't take horses and chariot.
So then you'll walk all the way to that place, Maharaj? Will your legs not pain?
Please you take all the eatables and money with you so that you can go comfortably to that place, Maharaj.
Oh fool, you are a really fool. Why can't you understand? I can't, even though my treasury is full of amazing wealth, I can't take even a gold coin.
You can't take your wealth? You can't take your wife? You can't take your children? You can't take your kingdom to that place?
Now, stop all your thoughts. Listen here. You have done your duty correctly. Now, you can retire. Your pension will be paid. And before retiring, you have to search a greater fool than you and hand over the stick to him and tell him to go around the city.
You have to search a greater fool than me?
Yes, that's right.
Who is the greater
fool? Maharaj, please take this stick, Maharaj.
You are the greatest fool, Maharaj.
Oh, fool. What are you doing? How dare you give a stick to me? You think I am a greater fool than you?
Yes, my dear king. You are the greatest fool. You are the Mahamurka. Do you know why? You just now said that you have amassed so much wealth, so much kingdom, you defeated so many kings, but you say that you cannot take even a single farthing of it. You have married so many queens, you have begat so many children, but you say you cannot take even a single person with you. All this life, you enjoyed your life lavishly, enjoying all the comforts of your palace, but didn't you know that at the time of death, you will have to leave everything, you will have to leave your wife, you will have to leave your kingdom, your property, your wealth, everything. Didn't you know that? Yes, you knew. But you were such a great fool that you didn't inquire about the absolute goal of life. You didn't inquire who is God. What is my relationship with God? Why has He brought me into this world? You didn't inquire about all these basic facts of life. And now, at the time of death, you are lamenting and mourning that
for the greatest mistake you ever made. And you are dying in the path of self-realization. Now you are lamenting for this mistake. That's why you are the greatest Mahamurka.
Oh, great soul. I am enlightened. Please tell me, who are you? How are you so knowledgeable? We are a fool. We are so foolish. How can I perfect my life at the late hours of my life?
My dear king, actually, I am the disciple of the same sage who had visited you few years back. But at that time, you didn't inquire about this. You were ignorant about the spiritual life. And so my guru instructed me to teach you a lesson and enlighten you at the right moment. So I had to play this role of a murkha. Now listen from me.
In this way, the sadhu's disciples started enlightening the king about the knowledge of the soul and the relationship between the soul and the God. Understanding that God loves every living being, and how the ultimate goal of life is to purify one's heart and achieve the kingdom of God, and not just being entangled in the worldly affairs, the king became enlightened with this knowledge. He wholeheartedly accepted the instructions of Sadhu's disciple and started chanting the holy names of the God. In this way, by the association of Sadhu's disciple, he was able to perfect his life. Now, through his story, what do we learn? We understand that we are all living beings living in this world, and all of us are busy performing many activities from morning to night. We want to do our studies, we want to take up a good job, we want to earn money, we want to live a very happy, luxurious life. But in this way, if we keep spending all our time without giving even a moment to God, then we will also be considered like the foolish king, the Mahamurk.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
We are students of Public College of Engineering, BASE, and it's a very high pleasure that we got an opportunity to act in this drama. We are very thankful to all the devotees who have attended this divine session, to Arishan Prabhuji, and to all the Vaishnavas and who have given us this opportunity. We are very thankful to Sadayogi Prabhu, who has guided us throughout. And I would like to introduce my friends. He is the narrator Sudeep Prabhu. He is Chaitan Prabhu, who played the role of main guru. He is the murkha. He is a very elevated murkha. So he is Shiv Kumar Prabhu. And Nagraj Prabhu played the role of the queen king. And this is Vishnath Prabhu, who played the role of Mahamurkha, but ultimately got realized. And this is Bharat Prabhu, who played the role of a soldier. And this is Abhinandan Prabhu, who also played the role of a soldier. And this is Hari Chaitanya Prabhu, who played the role of Das. And I am Sandesh, and I helped them in making this drama successful.
Hare Krishna. Can again.
So the student performed very powerfully, isn't it? So it puts one to thinking about one's own life and this drama of Mahamurk story. You know, there is a saying by Jesus, what profit of the man if he gains the whole world but has lost his own soul? Jesus said this. It's like if somebody tells you, I'll give you a very beautiful picture, beautiful painting, but the only problem is the price you have to pay is your two eyes. Who will buy that picture? Similarly, the material world we are living in saps our vital strength by making us work very hard morning to night
in simply fulfilling the needs of the body, the needs of the people who are dependent on us, in the form of relatives, friends and society and the connections we have. And it keeps us completely in darkness about the sublime spiritual truth. That's the greatest loss in the material world. So when we see dramas like this, it really shakes us and puts us to thinking, what are we doing in our life or preparing for that ultimate life after death? So we should not become like this Mahamurka king you see here. He was like, you know, polishing the cage but ignoring the parrot with him. So Vedas say these three things in essence. Vedas are very vast, 1 lakh verses. But Vedas talk about Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana. Sambandha means who am I, who is God and what is my relationship with God. You all know about Sambandha, right? Sambandha means connection. And Abhideya means the process or the method by which you can revive that lost relationship. That is Abhideya. And Prayojana means the mature result, attainment of love of God. So these three things are the ones which are given in all the Vedic scriptures. To understand the knowledge first about the relationship between... So the device course actually is focusing on the Sambandha mostly. Who am I and who is God, and the process of reviving the relationship also will be explained in the towards the concluding session. So we showed it in yesterday's slide show also, that the Atharvaveda states that Lord Krishna instructed Lord Brahma, and then Brahma gave it to Narada, and in parampara it's coming down, the Vedas. Why should you accept the actions of the Vedas which are unproven? People ask. Is it not a blind way to accept the Vedic injunctions? People ask questions. But you will see that there is no science without actions. You all know the imaginary number I, 2 plus 3 I, when you say there is a real part and there is an imaginary part. Now, what is I? I equal to root of minus 1. So, nobody knows the value of root of minus 1. You can't find it because it lies in the SJ plane, isn't it? Imaginary plane. But although we call it imaginary number, we use it for complex geometry, complex trigonometry and all that. And it is very valuable for solving many practical problems. So, no scientist is asking what is the value of I, isn't it? So, that means every field of mathematics or science has its own axioms. Axiom means a self-evident truth which cannot be proven. That's the meaning of axiom. The self-evident truth which cannot be proven. Like Heisenberg's uncertainty principle, you cannot prove it in a laboratory. Not possible. Because it talks about the position of an electron and the velocity of an electron, momentum of an electron. Because you know these both readings cannot be obtained simultaneously. Not possible. But still we accept the theory. So we can talk of many things, like, you know, third law of thermodynamics, which talks about the entropy. It says, the entropy of a perfect crystal at absolute zero temperature is zero. This is the third law of thermodynamics. Now, has anyone seen a perfect crystal till now? Every crystal that man knows has imperfection. Quartz, one of the crystals that they talk has many qualities and everything, but it's very difficult to get a perfect crystal. And to reach zero Kelvin is an impossibility. It's a practical impossibility. No one can reach zero Kelvin. So to go down to the temperature, you can reach 0.1 or maximum 0.01 or something like that. You can never reach zero. But still that law of thermodynamics, the third law, is accepted. And you can go on counting. There are so many actions in science which we accept, although they cannot be proven in the laboratory. So why can't we accept the axioms given in the Vedas? If science can have axioms, can't Vedas have their axioms? Vedas say, try to understand, you are not the body, you are the soul. So now you may say, I have not seen the soul, why should I believe? Okay, you don't have to believe that soul exists because you can't see it. But there are indirect ways of understanding that the soul is present in the body. The dead body does not feel cold, but you are a living person, you feel cold because there is soul in the body. If you cut a dead body into pieces, it's not going to cry. But you, while cutting off the nail, you cut little bits. You cry, isn't it? Because there is soul in the living body.
You feel conscious, you feel chetan, you feel awareness that I am existing, all those things. So indirectly we can understand, that's like, you know, you don't have to go out of the room to check whether sun is in the sky. Sitting inside the room, if you see some daylight, you can know that sun is in the sky. Similarly, you don't have to see the soul to accept the soul. Simply by seeing the chetana or consciousness, you can understand that soul exists. Inferential logic, as we said. Scientific theories are constantly changing. We said this yesterday also. So many scientists have come and things have been changing over the years. But the Vedas present absolute truth which never changes. Like, you know, Lord Krishna spoke 5,000 years ago. And in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna said, you are not the body, you are the soul. And your goal of life is to attain the kingdom of God. 500 years ago, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, he taught the same thing, love of God. 50 years ago, Srila Prabhupada taught the same knowledge. The Vedas never change. The Vedas have stood the test of time. You know, you never hear in the Vedas saying that, sorry, you know, for the last 1 million years we thought that there is something called a soul. Now we have made a new amendment. We are sorry to inform you that there is no soul. Now please assume that you are the body only. Do you think Vedas will ever say? Vedas never change. When they have said a truth, they stick to it. They have never amended any truth. See, there are Vedic predictions precisely given about the prediction of birth of great personalities. About Gautama Buddha, I have given the verse number also. See, Srimad Bhagavatam, SB stands for Srimad Bhagavatam. See, Bhagavad Gita is spoken by Lord Krishna to Arjuna, and Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken by Shukadeva Goswami to King Parikshit. And also Sutta Goswami to Sages of Naimisharandya. And Bhagavad Gita is by Krishna and Srimad Bhagavatam is about Krishna. That's the difference. So Srimad Bhagavatam is called as a Mahapuran. So in that 1.3.24 you can refer, there is a verse about the appearance of Buddha, who will appear in later years. Buddha's mother and father's name is given, and Buddha, all these names are available there. Similarly, there is a prediction about Chanakya. If you go to a library, you can note down these numbers and you can check these verses if you want. There is a prediction about Ashoka. In Bhavishya Purana, there is also a prediction about Christ and Muhammad also. Christ is called as Isha, Yeshu. Muhammad also, the name is there in Bhavishya Purana, which is part of Atharvaveda kind. So what does this show? That means Sanatana Dharma even predicts about the future appearance of other religions, like Islam and Christianity. You can find that, even their future appearance. These are all available in Sanskrit verses. And the Vedas talk about indefeatable truths. For example, Vedas say that plants have life, which was later proven by Jagadish Chandra Bose, isn't it? He proved that, you know, when you keep a plant in a dark room, the plant moves towards the window, correct? In order to seek some light, like that. Similarly, they also have studied about when you put some heavy metallic music, the plant dries off. When you put some nice, soothing classical music, then the plant grows very fastly. They have done this experiments in America, practical experiments. That means plants also have life and they also have emotions. But the plant emotions are very stunted. It's not like, you know, if you pinch a plant or a tree, it will not feel so much pain as you may feel. There's a description of human embryology in scriptures that thoroughly matches with modern day medical research. This was one of the things that gave me tremendous faith in the Vedas. Because I read an article written by a doctor where he has taken from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 28, 29, 30 chapters, you can read. He talks about when man and woman unite, how the semen enters into the woman's embryo. From that time everything is spoken, first day, second day, third day, first week, first month, second month, everything is explained. How the semen breaks the egg emulsifies, the fetus develops, and how the fetus grows, when the head develops, when the eyes and, you know, all the other organs develop, when the hands develop. Hands are initially like a lump of flesh, and then when the fingers develop, you know. All that is explained in detail with Sanskrit verses,
And that doctor has made a comparison with the Cunningham textbook of anatomy, which is a recent book based on the sophisticated medical research. And it is exactly matching one to one. I can even give you that article if any of you is particularly interested. It's about a 7-8 page article. You can read that and see the how the comparison is made. So now the doctors have stand asking this question, how can the Vedas talk about these things? Because now we have sophisticated instruments with which we can detect these things. But how can the Vedas say about it? That's a great miracle for them. Similarly, the Vedas said that cow dung is pure. I told you this in the last lecture, right? Only in 1940 the scientists found the antiseptic qualities of cow dung. Modern man is turning to yoga, meditation, vastu shastra, astronomy, astrology, metallurgy, all from the Vedas. You all said it yesterday, right? You were asking me this question yesterday. So there are indefeatable Vedic truths. There is no way to defeat them. These are all truths in the Vedas. And by reading them, our faith in the Vedas develops more. That the Vedas are giving rock solid truths, which are undeniable. So if a child, like you see this child sitting in the road and weeping, crying, how can a child know who is my father? Anybody knows? How can a child know who is his father? What is the technique to know? Huh? Yeah. The best way for a child to know who is my father is to ask the mother. Because we all learnt about our father from whom? From mother only, isn't it? But there is one another way also to know. Doctors say that they can check our genes and tell us who our father is. That's called a genetic fingerprint, we call it. So somebody can find out, medically also. For that, you know what you will have to do? You have to take all the males in the whole globe who can father the child. That means who can reproduce child in the mother's womb. And if you take them, and if you only take a sample of them also, then if you test them, even if it takes a few seconds to conduct this medical fingerprint, this genetic fingerprint test, it takes 800 years to know who is your father, and you will not know who is your father even then. You know, there will be a range of 200 to 300 people whose values will be very, very close to one another. And the doctor can tell you that your father is one among these 300. So now, then the child has to find for himself, who is my father among these 300 men. And also that will take how many years? 800 years. Do you think the child is going to be alive till then? He will be a grown up man. He himself will be married and having few children and grandchildren and be dead and gone. Isn't it? So, this is called as inductive knowledge. Inductive means, I will find out the truth myself. I don't want to hear from you. That is inductive knowledge. Deductive knowledge means, to take the help of an authority to learn the knowledge. Like, just ask your mother and know who your father is. This is deductive knowledge. Similarly, the Vedas say, Vedas are like a mother and God is like the father. So if you want to know who is God and why God created this world, who am I, how I can become happy, why am I suffering, all these questions, you have to go to the mother. And who is the mother? The Vedas are the mother. And the Vedas say that we have all the truths, we can tell you. So it is a very time-saving process to go to the Vedas. It is very easy to approach the Vedas, learn from them and apply the truth in our life. Otherwise, you know, you can touch the nose like this or you can touch your nose like this. Sometimes if you try to find out your nose like this, you may touch your ears and say, maybe this is the nose. Huh? Or maybe this is the nose, eyes are the nose. But you know, nose is very, it's a very simple method to find out the nose. Similarly, if you accept the authority of Vedas, then your life becomes easy. But if you refuse to accept the Vedas and you want to find out the truth yourself, then through scientific research, you may have to wait a million years for science to teach you all the truths which Vedas are saying. Like for example, in the previous slide we showed you, all these truths science knew only recently, correct? Did scientists know plants have life? They were thinking, only which moves from one place to another has life. That was the understanding of scientists. Human beings are moving, so they have life. Animals are moving, so they have life. Plants are standing in one place, they have no life. That was their understanding. But then later they understood. Similarly, human embryology information we got only recently in the past few decades. So many things that Vedas say are valuable which modern man cannot find out by his own research. So Vedas are compared to our mother, God is our Supreme Father, Vedas can guide us to our Supreme Father. That is directive knowledge. So what is the Vedic process of learning? In the beginning I was telling you, how generally people learn about God and soul and everything, generally they hear from their grandmother or grandfather, or they see from the movies, cinema movies, and they say in that movie, you know, Lord Rama did this or Krishna did that and everything. Is it authoritative source to learn knowledge? Movies or hearing from grandmother and grandfather? If one wants to have real knowledge, then we should know the Vedic process of learning. Just like you have professors in the colleges teaching, similarly we have spiritual professors who have heard from their guru or acharya. You understand this example which is given here? Like in college you learn from a professor, similarly we have to go to spiritual teachers from whom we should learn. Don't learn from any Tom, Dick and Harry. Like you want to go to a doctor, will you go to any quack who claims to be a doctor? For example, if one of your friends tells you, hey, you have a boil in hand, I have a knife with me, come here, I will cut off your boil. Will you go to your friend? Why you will not go? He says you will remove the boil. Already he has brought the knife from the kitchen. He is saying, come here, I will remove your boil. What will you do? Will you show your boil or you will not show him? Yeah? Why you will not show him? He is not a surgeon. He will, in the name of cutting your boil, he will kill you. Isn't it? He will aggravate the disease more. So you always look for a qualified person, right? So why only you look for a qualified doctor or engineer? What about spiritual life? Why don't you look for a qualified spiritualist? Why do you go to any Tom, Dick and Harry and hear from them? That's the question. Similarly, authorized college. You know, if a college tells you, anybody from third standard, we give you free engineering seat. And we will give you a degree also. Only problem is the degree will not be valid anywhere. Will anybody join the college? In fact, you know, any college tells you that we will give you engineering seat freely, even if you are just passed in 12th standard, that immediately arouses suspicion, correct? In that college before you join. So, similarly, you cannot go and give a patient hearing to anybody and everybody. There are so many TV serials in the morning, so many sadhus are speaking. But who knows who is speaking the truth? Now, how many of us are challenged? Like, you know, when I am teaching all of you now, you have the right to challenge me. Whatever I am saying, whether it's true or not, till now I have finished three sessions. Every one of you has the right to ask, Prabhuji, you said like this. That is not acceptable to me. That's why I told you, Pratyaksha Anumana Shabda, when I thought about these three, what did I tell you? Pratyaksha Anumana have failed, and we can prove how they have failed. But when I am talking about Shabda, I am not telling that you have to accept it. What did I tell you? If you have incidence, you can consider it, I said. Whatever the Vedas is saying, you consider and see. See for yourself whether it is true or not. So there is no imposition on you. And you have every right to challenge the person who is teaching you also. You don't have to blindly accept whatever is told to you. Whatever I am speaking here, if it is logical, reasonable, it makes sense to you, then only you should accept. But there are so many people claiming to be saints, but there are so many swindlers all over the nation, especially in India. Every day in India, your God is being manufactured in the factory of India. Somebody pops up and says, I am God. So people are making a human being into God, and they make God into a human being. Both are offensive. So don't accept any quack or any cheater to be your teacher. Accept only one who has heard from a guru coming in parampara. Authorized colleges, the parampara or sampradaya, which we showed you before. And authorized books are Vedic texts like Bhagavad Gita. Nowadays there are so many organizations where the founder of the organization is writing some book. So ask him, what is your basis? He says, I have written it from my own brain, he says. They don't quote reference from Bhagavad Gita, or Vedas, or Puranas, or Upanishads. You see, in ISKCON, everything that Prabhupada spoke, he will always quote from Bhagavad Gita, or Bhagavatam, or Vedas. You will see that. That is the standard of any acharya or teacher. You cannot speak something of your own. Why we can't speak something of our own? Anybody can say? We have four defects. Then we will be bluffing something. But if we speak from what the acharyas have given, then we can benefit the people.
But today you see there are so many organizations where people write books and there is no reference to scriptures at all. How can they accept such books to be truths? And many people are reading those books, like one organization, I don't want to name them. They say, Sambhav says Samadhi. That is their formula. They say, through sex life you can attain divine realization, they are saying. Do you think it can be true? Because actually, indulgence of sex life is very barbaric. And all one's senses are practically put on fire in such an event. And it makes one more or less animalistic in the act. All the passion in the body comes out. How can such an act lead to divine realization? Divine realization requires serenity, peace, and cleanliness of mind and heart, and full concentration on God and mode of goodness. Sattva-guna is required for that. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that sense gratification is condemned in Bhagavad Gita. But this person in one organization is saying that you do whatever you want in life freely. There is no problem, no restriction. You just enjoy life. Eat, drink and be merry and you can attain God. But how can you attain God? Such people who enjoy the senses freely, they are only going to land up in animal bodies. They will not even get human bodies. What is it of going back to God? So, such cheaters are available in the market writing books, and because they have some intellectual word jugglery, the gullible masses get tricked by them, cheated by them. So, you have to be careful in the choice of your teacher. Whom are you going to accept as your teacher? Like there are many gurus who simply sprinkle water and give diksha to people without even expecting whether the disciple will follow the niyams, regulative principles. Like in ISKCON we have a rule, you should not eat meat, no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. You have to follow these four principles and you have to chant Hare Krishna every day. Only then one is given diksha after almost 4 or 5 years of practice. One is not just like that given diksha, new name. But many gurus, they don't even know who the disciple is. They sprinkle the water and say, now you are my disciple. They say, I went to Pune and I got some 3,000 disciples there. Simply by sprinkling water. And people, even educated people are blindly accepting such people as gurus. So it's very surprising to us. You can accept guru only after testing him. You have to know whether the person is in parampara, whether he has heard from his guru, whether he is following it. Is he exemplifying it and all that? And there are also qualifications needed from the part of the disciple also. You will be teaching these things in future sessions. So, the authorized books are the Shastras. Just like you go to a college, as soon as you go to college, you join electrical engineering. The first book they give you is D.L. Taraja. You have to read that book. You can't say, no, I will find out the truth myself. They will say, no, you research later, but right now you accept the book. Can somebody say, like Michael Faraday, I will also research and find out what is electricity. They will say, okay, you are very intelligent, first you read this book first. Similarly, you want to know the truth, first read Bhagavad Gita. You have to accept a teacher, you have to accept a book, you have to learn the knowledge, and research will come much later. The ignoramus is not allowed to do research. First you have to make him wise. And with wisdom you have to do research. So we need authorized books, we need authorized college, which is the parampara, and we need authorized spiritual teachers to teach us. So, here ends the third session and we have 10 more minutes for questions. Anybody want to ask any questions? You can ask me questions pertaining to either this session or the previous ones. Because the last 2 days we have been going late, that's why I didn't let time for questions. So, people, you have a chit which you can give them for writing questions if they want. Give them small chits. So, as I started studying the Vedic scriptures, I realized that there are overwhelming truths given in the Vedas which are being proven in the modern science. For example, in my school days I read about reincarnation, So, I read about reincarnation, Bhagavad Gita and all other scriptures. Scientists are saying that all this is a bluff. This is all mythology. There is no reincarnation. What is reincarnation? No, there is only evolution of the bodies, not that there is something called a soul and evolving and all. But later, I read in newspaper and television and many places, people remembering their purva janam. How many of you heard about people remembering their purva janam? You read in newspaper or TV or you have seen? Most of you, right? Isn't it? So what is purva janam? That means you are not the body, you are the soul, like one
girl called Manisha, and who was earlier Suman, it came in the paper last September. It came. I took the whole newspaper cutting article and I put it in my new book, Essence of Bhagavad Gita. I took it as it is, so that people can see it from the newspaper. That means there was a soul. There is a soul in this body. The same soul as present in the previous body. Like, you know, if you take set A and set B, two circles, there has to be intersecting element in these two sets. And the intersecting element is the soul. Because this soul was found in that body, the soul is able to recollect everything from that body and speak it now. So, I saw that the Shastric truths are leaking despite the scientists trying to suppress them. So, then that increases our faith in the Vedas more and more. If anybody wants to ask, write a question and send it to me, you can write and send, yeah. So, tomorrow's topic is a very interesting topic. Science of soul, fact or fiction. So, we will be now coming to the real spiritual subject. Why are we in this painful world? Whether God send us in this world? Yeah. This question is answered in the fifth session, that is day after tomorrow. Why do we come to this world? Why does the soul come to this world? But to give you a very brief information, the Vedas say that the spiritual world is our real home or our real state. And the material world is like a jail. Like in Pune, all of us are living in Pune happily, and in Yerawada there is a jail. You all know in Yerawada there is a jail. Now who is put in the Yerawada jail? Pickpocketers, thieves, isn't bank robbers and all those people, right? Somebody who doesn't follow the laws of the state, they are put in the Yerawada jail. Similarly, there are millions of souls in the spiritual world happily serving God and loving Him, and there is a unlimited happiness there. There is no old age, there is no disease, there is no death. Every soul is pure, and everyone is eager to serve others, respect others and love others. It is said every speech they do, they never speak, they only sing, it is said. They never walk, they only dance. That's how the spiritual world is. It's a very beautiful place. But those souls who break the laws of God, who want to be independent of God, they are sent to this material world. Just like sometimes a child goes to a mother and says, a small girl goes to mother and says, "Mother, I want to cook today in the kitchen." Mother says, "You can't cook." But the child is very adamant. She is saying, I want to cook. "You get out of the kitchen," she tells the mother. What the mother does? She gives a Leo toy set and tells the child, "You go to the corner and you cook whatever you want." She gives a toy set and sends the child away. Similarly, when we adamantly want to enjoy separate from God, then God sends us to this material world, which is like a jail. And how long we have to remain here? That will depend on how many material desires we have. As long as we have desires, you know, we will be getting different bodies. But if you meet the devotees of God and you transform the material desires into spiritual desires, then we will develop a desire to return back to God, then we will go back to God. Just like the child also, till 12 o'clock, child keeps cooking different things with the Leo toy set. And 12 o'clock when child is hungry, she goes to the mother, "Mama, I am very hungry now." Mother is asking, "What happened to your cooking?" Child says, "That was all a waste of time. I didn't do anything useful. Now I am really hungry, you give me food." Similarly, we go back to God, you know, when we get a desire to go back to Him. Body is made of earth, water, fire, and ether. So soul is made of what particle? The soul is made of Satchidananda. Satchidananda, eternity, knowledge and bliss. It's incomprehensible substance, but the spirit soul also has a beautiful form. Just like we all have forms here, soul also has a similar form, but it's made of spiritual substance. We will talk about it tomorrow also. What is the method of testing the behavior of soul? How it takes rebirth? What process is involved? I will answer this tomorrow, because it's on the soul. What is my first step in this spiritual world? I didn't get the question. What is my first step? Yeah? Somebody can explain this question already? What should we do next? Oh, right. Actually, tomorrow only we will be introducing the meditation. That's why, first of all, we are gaining knowledge and understanding and becoming more convinced. Then tomorrow we will teach about the soul and also teach about what is the dharma of the soul. What activities we have to do to
to prepare ourselves to return back to our original home. That we'll be talking tomorrow. Mantra meditation technique, how to do that, and how that technique helps us to go back to God, we'll talk about that. There are many things we have to do. We call it as ABCD. A for associating, like right now we are in association. B for books, reading spiritual books like Bhagavad Gita, which enlighten us more and more about the spiritual world. C for chanting, which is meditation and technique, we'll be teaching tomorrow. And D for diet, which is the food that is offered to God in love, which is called as prasadam, which you all take at the end of the session. Prasad. You should not eat anything that is not offered to God. You should always offer it first to Him, acknowledging that everything comes from Him. Then we should, these are the four do's we have to do. I believe that God is existing, but how can you say that God is Lord Krishna only? That's a very good question. This to some extent we will answer in the last session, concluding session. For that you have to know relationship between Christ and Krishna also. Who is Christ, who is Krishna, and why there are so many different religions. Why only we chose Hinduism, and Hinduism also why only we chose Krishna, that we will answer in the last session. So if you come continuously, the sixth session you will get the answer. Why God is not visible as in original shape, as a small miracle? Oh, God can be seen just as all of you are seeing me or I am seeing all of you. We can see God as much as we are seeing one another. There are 9 stages for that. Shraddha, Sadhusanga, Bhajana Kriya, Anasana Viruti, Nishtha, Ruchi, Rati, Bhav, Prem. There are 9 stages like that. When you reach higher and higher stages, you will get a greater and greater revelation of God. Like I joined the society in 94. Now it is 2006 now. Why do you think I am sticking on to society? Whom do you think is pressing me to stay here? It's a voluntary organization. We can come in anytime, go out anytime. So unless we are getting some taste in this process, unless we are getting some realization that brings us closer and closer to God, we will not be able to continue like this. Because it's a voluntary organization. So, if you practice what is being taught to you here, you will be ascending in these 9 stages, little by little. And you will come to a stage where you can see God face to face. And people have seen, like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavanyana tapasa puta amad bhava magata. People have attained the bhava for God and they have seen Him face to face. You heard about Tyagaraja? Kusala, Ramachandra. You heard about Purandaradas? You heard about Tukaram? Isn't it? There are many great devotees of God who have seen. Many great acharyas in our line also. So, it's no more a miracle at that time for you when you get the realization. What is soul? Main function of soul, what is super soul? This I will explain tomorrow. These Vedas can solve all the problems of life. All Vedas can be available only in Bhagavad Gita. And he's asking, can Vedas solve all the problems of life? Yes. Vedas can solve all the problems of your life. You can say that. How? Just like in a village, you know, you have a pond where you have to wash your clothes. There's another pond which is for drinking water. There's another pond where people take bath and everything. So, there's another pond which is used only for temple sacred waters. But if there's a flowing river, all activities can be done in that river. So, it's a flowing water. Similarly, the Vedas are like that. It's like a Sarva Roga Nivarani, we can say. All your problems can be solved, if you follow what they say. And he is asking whether all Vedas are made available only within Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is called as Sarva Sarva Upanishado Gavo Dogda Gopala Nandana Partha Vatsa Shatir Bhokta Dugdam Gita Amrita Mahar. It is said that Bhagavad Gita is the quintessence of all the Vedas. Which means if you read Bhagavad Gita, it is as good as mastering all the Vedas. Just like, you know, sometimes we give the concentrate essence, you know. The Gita Upanishad is called as a Sarva Upanishad of Gava. All the Upanishads, Puranas, everything is given in essence in Bhagavad Gita, which is like the milk of a cow. And Krishna is the milkman, and Arjuna is the calf. And all of us are Sudhir Bhokta, which means all of us are people who get the milk from that cow. So Arjuna is drinking, like a calf is drinking milk from the mother. So we are also beneficiaries, we are also benefiting from that. Hearing Bhagavad Gita. Vedesha Sarvai Ahameva Vidyo, Lord Krishna says. After studying all the Vedas, am I to be known, and that is explained in Bhagavad Gita.
why God has given as his personal form and Muslims as impersonal form? Very good question, which I will answer in the last session. Because we are going to make a comparative study of Islam, Christianity and Hinduism in the last session. What is the benefit in end of life to suffering pain and sadness in our life? What is this question? I don't understand it. What is the benefit in end of our life to suffering pain and sadness in our life? See, the pain and sadness we get in our life is to reform us and make us into pure souls. Just like, have you seen a police beating up a thief? Sometimes you feel pathetic, isn't it? You feel sympathy for the boy. He beats him with belt or something. Why he beats him up? Either to get the truth out or to make him a better individual. So whether the sufferings in this world are aimed at purifying our enjoying mentality or exploitative mentality and to make us pure souls fit enough to return back to God. But if you become a devotee, you will not suffer so much like you are suffering now. Just like if a thief becomes reformed, will the police punish him anymore? They won't punish him. Only those people are punished who are very adamantly not telling the truth and trying to continue to maintain their, thievery. Animals don't know about God, but Bharat Raj, who is in the form of a deer, who remembered God. How? Yeah. This is an exception. Gajendra is an exception. Hanuman is an exception. Exception cannot become the rule. The general rule is animals cannot remember, understand about God and all. That's the general rule. But there are also apavar, exceptions are also there to that. If I want to learn Sanskrit, then how can I do this? Please guide, yeah. If you want to learn Sanskrit, there is an institute in Koth Road, where there is a regular coaching class or training class if one wants to learn Sanskrit. We generally learn Sanskrit only by studying word-to-word meaning, which is given in Prabhupada's books. Bhagavad Gita slokas, Bhagavatam, 18,000 slokas, Prabhupada's given word-to-word meanings. So we all, many of us learn Sanskrit through that. I underwent a 10-day course on spoken Sanskrit, which is conducted by Sanskrit Bharati. So, if somebody is interested in Sanskrit, if you simply read Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, word-to-word translation and translation purport, you will learn very easily. But if you want to speak in Sanskrit, maybe you can go to that Koth Road Institute. I can get details from you if anybody is interested. So thank you very much. Now we will conclude with Kirtan for a few minutes.